musician. Thank you so much for playing. Thank you for bringing the presence of God in our midst. God bless you. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Joshua. No, I was asking God, what should I share for the first service of the year 2025? And God brought me to the time of Israel. I was thinking of the new year of Israel, of entering into the promised land. And I was brought to this message, and I believe that it will be very appropriate for us for the year 2025. Okay, the theme of my sharing this morning will be entering the new year. Entering the new year. Father, anoint this message. Let our eyes be open and receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Entering the new year. I read to you and you listen carefully. Okay, they were at the edge of the Jordan River. And Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. That means the officers went to hold the crowd and talk to them. And they commanded people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. You shall remove from... There are 2 million people. At least 2. You shall remove from your place and go after it. Who is the it? The priests, the Ark, and the Levites. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. That means the Ark and the priests and the Levite. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. That means you have never gone through. We have not gone through the year 2025 yet. They have never gone into the promised land yet. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark. Now the instruction is to the priest. Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Let me say, went ahead. And it came to pass when all the people were cleansed, were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, this is chapter 4 right now. Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan. That means in the midst of Jordan River, out of the place wherein the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. That means they will take the stone and they bring it to the new land and place it there. Okay? Then Joshua called the 12 men, the 12 leaders, the 12 princes of Israel, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of the 12 tribes, amen. Joshua said unto them, now, he told these 12 men, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. That means go into the midst of Jordan River. Go into the midst of Jordan River and take up every man of you a stone, a gigantic stone upon his shoulder. According unto the numbers of the tribes of the children of Israel, 12 stones. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their father in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? No, the children of Israel, according to biblical account, Joshua led them into the promised land after the death of Moses in the year estimated to be 1406 BC. That is 3,500 years ago. If you count until today, 3,500 years ago. But according to the Bible, Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land by what? Crossing the Jordan River. Am I correct? On the 10th day of the Hebrew month of Nisan, marking the new year of their entry into the land. Marking the new year of their entry into the land. This is typically associated with the beginning of spring season. See, when they go in, they are marking the new year, and the new year starts with what? The spring season. Spring is coming. 2025, spring is coming. And it's considered a significant event in Jewish tradition even until today. But on the 39th year, on the 39th year of Israel wandering before entering, a lot of instruction, I tell you, Moses was like a broken record, repeating, a lot of repetition, a lot of instruction, a lot of reminder were given by Moses and Joshua, including the preparation. They have to prepare themselves to enter into the promised land. This is the 39th year of eventual tabernacle since its founding. And we are about to cross into the 40th year, where the children of Israel enter into the 40th year, into the promised land. Now, I like the name Tabot Suba. Cross over the river. I verify with Annalyn. I say, what is the meaning of Tabot? Say, Pastor, cross. Suba is river, cross over. I've never believed in coincidences in life. If you want to know about me, I don't believe in coincidences. I always believe in God's invisible hand upon every event, upon every landmark, upon every circumstance in life. I always believe that in my life. Tabot Suba is laden with symbolism for eventual tabernacle. Crossover. Crossover. When we came in, we crossed over. In fact, we'll be celebrating our 40th Christmas family night this year. The 10th of the month of Nisan marks the new year of their entry. You are entering, you have entered into 2025. And the 10th of the month is called Yom HaAliyah. Yom HaAliyah. The original calendar that was chosen. The 10th of Nisan is laden with symbolism. We just entered the year 2025. Spring is coming. Spring is coming. Mangoes, watermelons, whatever fruits are coming up. And it is a significant event for our church. See, it's so beautiful. When God lets you enter in the new year, the first thing God allows you is to experience spring. Spring. Fruitfulness, blossoming of fruits. And that's what God wants for each and every one of our life. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and before the Israelite was about to cross over the threshold into a new era, into the promised land, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. On that day, numerous events documented Mass Aliyah. On the day, God commanded the Israelites to commemorate, to celebrate the occasion by erecting 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River with the text of Torah engraved upon the 12 stones. Very important. They not only bring the 12 stones into the midst of the Jordan River, they have to engrave the Torah, which is the Bible, the Word of God, upon the 12th stone. This is the fourth day of the new year. And I'm reminded, that's why I was preparing this message, I'm reminded of the day Israel was about to enter the promised land, which marks the new year for them. I want our church to learn a few truths we need to know before the year is fully upon us. Number one, what must you do? What must you do? Number one, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Joshua 3:5 say, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself is a phrase from the Bible which means to dedicate oneself to God or to separate oneself from things that are unclean. In the King James Version, it is sanctify. This is especially so that anything that contaminates one's relationship with God has to be discarded. It also means to dedicate oneself to specific purpose of intention. That's why Pastor Lily asked all of you to come out as leader for a specific purpose of intention to serve God in your whatever capacity God has given you. In verse 3, Joshua said, consecrate yourself for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The phrase emphasized the importance of being consecrated. You want to enter the new year 2025? You make sure you're consecrated or pure in one's relationship with you. This is a very important truth. It underscores the necessity of repentance and removal of sins to restore God's favor and power upon you. I repeat. It underscores the necessity of repentance and removal of sins to restore God's favor and power. The Hebrew root word for consecrate is kadesh. Means to set apart, to be set apart, or dedicated for a sacred purpose. This is the Hebrew word for holiness. What is consecration? Holiness. If there are things in 2025 you know that God is displeased with, you are to discard them. You are to repent and remove the sins in your life. Many of us, we walk with God but not with a perfect heart. It's a very sad thing. We walk with God but not with a perfect heart. And you know what is the thing that is causing our heart to be imperfect? And God said, I want you to remove. I want you to repent. I want you to discard. That could be the reason you are not witnessing the miracles meant for your life. You are to remove the sins of 2024 and consecrate yourself as you enter the year 2025. You need to make spiritual preparation. Thank God for the first service. Thank God it's just only on the fourth day. We need to make spiritual preparation for the new year ahead of us. You know, on that 3 days before they go over, as the children of Israel were to wash themselves and their garments, abstain from everything that might indispose their mind from a profitable attention to the miracles about to be wrought on their behalf. What it means is that we need to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and abstain from everything that contaminates us and thus prevent the miracles of God that is about to bestow upon us. When we sanctify ourselves in the presence of God, we make possible the miraculous action of God in behalf of us for the year 2025. You know, this verse seems to imply if there is no purification, there's no miracles for our life. I be honest with you, as I walk with God for so many years, I notice that if my walk with God is perfect, that means I'm trying my best, perfect. I notice that things flow very well. I get to see miracles in my life. But I notice that if there are things that is not right in my life, I start to see chaos, problems, things coming up, problems cropping out of my life. I do not know about you, but this is what I learned something from God. This verse seems to imply that if there's no purification, there's no miracles. The preparation required some time. That's why the children of Israel came by the river for 3 days. The 3 days represents a time of spiritual contemplation, spiritual preparation. Physically, they washed themselves and they washed their clothes. During those 3 days, the Israelites could see what they are up against, with the first thing being the River Jordan. They were at the edge of the River Jordan. The edge of the River Jordan represents entering into the new year. They are at the edge. They are at the edge about to enter into the new year. We actually enter into the new year. River Jordan was overflowing. I believe they realized that to cross over this overflowing river, they need to consecrate themselves because they cannot cross over without a miracle. They need to consecrate themselves. I do not know what is going to happen for the year 2025. I do not know. That is before us. To tell you frankly, it is frightening. I mean, I hear of Trump taking over. Okay? I hear of Putin discussing with Trump and Zelensky have to give lands to them and condition that Zelensky cannot join NATO. Okay, and you look at China. How do you know they will not attack Taiwan? If they attack Taiwan, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. I'm going to tell you, I do not know what is happening in 2025. But I know that Syria has been overthrown. Assad, do you know his name is called Bashar, the king of Syria? You go and read the Bible. There is a king of Syria called Bashar. Assad has been overthrown, and there is a new leader that is coming up. Do you know that the Antichrist will be a Syrian? I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I don't know. But if you know the Bible properly, the Antichrist will be a Syrian. Go and read your Bible. So we do not know what is going to happen for the year 2025. So the best way to face the year 2025 is to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. We must understand that our consecration, our choosing to live a holy life brings... Do you know that when you live a holy life, there are a few things that happen. You bring honor and glory to God. Do you know that you make God happy? You bring honor. You bring glory to God when you live a consecrated life. And God will be so proud of you when you live a consecrated life. You bring Him glory. You bring Him honor. It's also a time to get refocused. We have to get refocused. You have 360 days ahead of you. You have to get refocused as you enter the new year. Consecration is also a time to make spiritual preparation. I like Pastor Lily's read the Bible in 365 days. These are some kind of spiritual preparation. I like that this coming Saturday we are going to have a corporate prayer meeting together. I like that we are going to have fasting soon. These are called spiritual preparation. And it is there. Consecration talks about spiritual preparation for the new year, to make time to consistently commune with the Heavenly Father in heaven. Then we will begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit living inside us more clearly. I will tell you, you'll be very sensitive. You can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can hear the Holy Spirit tell us what moves we must make to make this upcoming year to position ourselves for success. No, a preacher, say this. We cannot have a success in God without obedience to the word, submission to His will, accountability for our action. You see, 2024, there's a lot of inaccountability in our action. Our actions has not been accountable. We have to be accountable for our actions. The only way to achieve success in God is to do things God's way. Consecration put our spirit in the posture position to be disciplined in obeying, submitting, and accountable. It puts us to be in position to do things God's way. Number two, follow the Lord and led by the Levitical priest. Follow the Lord and led by the Levitical priest. Let's read this. Joshua 3:3-4. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that means the ark of the covenant is ahead, and the priest and the Levite bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. The Bible says, you see the ark of the covenant, you see the priest bearing it, go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. 2,000 cubits by measure, come not nigh unto it, signifying the holiness of God. Okay? The holiness of God. That you may know, you must go after it so that you may know the way that you must go. You will not know the way you must go if you don't go after it. For you have not passed this way, heretofore. You have not passed 2025. You have not passed yet. Right? Have you passed yet? No. So God said, go after it, that you may know the way that you can go. Because you have not passed 2025 yet. That's what the Bible is trying to say. You know, in the 40 years in the wilderness, it was the ark and the cloud that led them throughout the wilderness period. wandering period. You know, the ark was usually carried by the sons of Kohath. See, the ark was carried by the sons of Kohath. But now, here in this situation, it was carried by the Levitical priests. On this occasion, God wants the Levitical priests to carry the ark, when usually it was the responsibility of another family, the sons of Kohath of the tribes of Levi. There was a distinction between the sons, the duties of the sons of Kohath and the duties of the Levitical priests. There is a difference. The Levitical priests only carry the ark on special occasion. The Levitical priests only carry the ark on special occasion. The fact that they are carried by the Levitical priests in this situation shows the significance of the event. 2025 will be very, very important. The year 2025 is a significant event because we are on the threshold of the 40th year of Evangel's existence. 39, we are into the 40th. There's a distance between the priest and the people carrying the ark. Okay? It talks about the holiness of God. A cubit is a distance between the longest of your finger to the edge of your elbow. That is around 18 inches or 1.5 feet. This meant that the distance between the ark and them was 3,000 feet. Why? Why? This was a symbol of reverence. A reverence and a sign. Not just a reverence, a sign of who was leading the people into the promised land. The implication here is follow the leader. Follow the leader. The ark represents the presence of God and the leader has the presence of God. And we are to go after the presence of God, led by the leader, led by the Levitical priests. Evangel Tabernacle has always been led by a leader and his Levites. I believe it was one of my son-in-law who asked me the structure of our church organization. I told him in no uncertain term that this church is led by a leader. Moses was a leader. Joshua was a leader. So I believe you need a one leader, led by a leader and his elders, the Levites, carrying the ark. Elders, you hold a very important position in your life. Okay, I'm just going to tell you honestly, okay? You cannot play with your life. You have to take care of your spiritual life. There must be reverence. We are there following. We see the leader and the ark. There must be reverence. Sorry, as I grow older, my eyes cannot see properly. There must be reverence and recognition towards who is leading the people in the church. You must have reverence. I'll tell you, you must. That's why the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. That's the meaning. Of course, the leader has to have the ark with him. Okay, the ark represents the presence of God. I know that the world fought for democracy. I know the world wanted democracy, but that's not God's way. You look at America, the most democratic country in the whole world today. Everyone wants to say something. Everyone insists on their human rights. I remember, one of the actresses was angry. He said, even if I have 3 breasts on my body, what is that to you? You know what I mean? This is the mentality of the people of America. This is I have my own right. And today, America is nothing but chaos, dangerous, and insecure country. Do you know that thousands of National Guard, America's National Guard, has to be deployed at the New York subway during the Christmas season because of crime in the subway? Farida decided not to go to America because she said it's so dangerous. There was a man. She saw a lady in a subway station. He went to her and he sprayed some combustible thing on her and set her on fire. And she died. She was sleeping and she died. That man and her has no relationship. They are stranger one to another. This is America. You want to have your own right. I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, He said He will rule with a rod of iron. For this church, we need a godly leader who is consecrated, carries the presence of God, filled with visions, and leading the people in the right direction. Pastor Carlos and the elders are not perfect. But if he follows the Lord, and you see he has the church in his heart, and he carries the presence of God, and lead this church in the godly direction, miracles will not only happen for the church, miracles will happen for every families of this church. And if you show reverence, miracles will take place in your life. You know, there are many battles to fight in 2025. But you know, Joshua, he did not ask the engineers, he did not ask the commanders, the general, he did not ask the builders of the Israel army to go first. No, he sent the priests. He sent the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, who was the visible representation of God's presence with Israel. Joshua knew that this was primary a spiritual challenge. 2025 will be a spiritual challenge more than a test or a man's ability to plan and to build. So Pastor Carlos should not think, I must have the ability to plan and to build. No! If not, he will send the commander, he will send the general, he will send the builder, he can send a construction worker. Pastor Carlos and the team must understand that to lead this church is more than the test of one's ability to plan and to build. It is carrying the presence of God. And Joshua sent the priest to walk across a swollen, flooded river Jordan. God told Joshua to command this radical step of faith. 2025 will be conquered by steps of faith. Joshua didn't do this because of foolish presumption. Joshua remembered the similar work in the crossing of the Red Sea. He was there. He and Caleb were there in the crossing of the Red Sea. Joshua's success depended on and grew out of the promise of God to him. God told them to cross the Red Sea, and now God asked them to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua is not afraid of crossing the Jordan River because he has seen God opening the Red Sea. So the instruction to cross the Jordan River was given by God, not by him. Number 3, obey the Lord of God. I read to you Joshua 4:1-7. And while the nations have finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan River, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm. See, the priests, they went to the center of the Jordan River, and as they are standing, there were stones. So Joshua said, go and take 12 stones and carry them over and lay them down in that lodge. Finally, it became Gilgal. The lodge became Gilgal, where you were lodged tonight. Then Joshua continued. He called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again. Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And when you cross, this time you carry a stone on your shoulder according to the numbers of the tribes of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask you, what do you mean by this stone? Then you say, because the water of Jordan River were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When he crossed the Jordan, the water of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones will become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. You know, I'll never forget. My third point is obey the Lord of God. I'll never forget, Pastor Lily and I, we visited a member of our church. And she had a grandson. Was around maybe 2 years old. You know, children of the age. Who was difficult to handle. And because Pastor Lily and I were there, she wanted to make a good impression. And whenever the grandson was doing, she would say this. I forgot his name. Okay, just say, Roy, do not be lawless. Roy, do not be lawless. Roy, do not be lawless. In the Bible, Matthew 24:12 says, Jesus at the Olivet Discourse says, and because lawlessness, America has become lawless. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love for many will grow cold. And Jesus is not addressing the unbeliever. Jesus was addressing. Jesus is telling us, Christian, do not be lawless. Do not be lawless. The Bible has shown us the way we will not be lawless. The Word of God. We must not be lawless. Like all the people of the world today. You must not be lawless. According to the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, the word of the Torah was instructed to be etched. I don't know. Okay, just say, this is a stone. Okay, just say, this is a stone. The word of the Torah was instructed to be etched. To be etched onto the 12 stones that were set after the crossing of the Jordan River. This is found in Deuteronomy 27:2, where God spoke, tell Moses to set up large stone, coat them with a plaster, and inscribe all the words of the Torah on them. He said, Moses, make a big stone. Write down all the Torah and encase it with lime plaster. By etching the Torah onto the stone, it was meant to have a permanent physical reminder of God's law. As you enter the new land, you must have a permanent reminder of God's law etched in your mind and your heart for the year 2025. Personally, Joshua was given this instruction. The book of the law shall not depart from their mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Pastor Lily was telling me that she wants to read the Bible in the year 2025 in a different way. But her emphasis was she wants to read the Bible, the whole Bible in the year 2025. Joshua has the Word of God on his lips, on his mind, and it guided his action. It guided his action. The land of Israel is a sacred place and does not tolerate immoral behavior. It spews out inhabitants that defy the Torah code of conduct. It was imperative that the Israelites realize that as they entered the land, even before their first military engagement, this was a covenant between Yahweh and them. If the Jews observed the Torah, they would enjoy the land. If they grew lax in observation, same thing with you, the Jewish state would be destroyed. This is precisely what happened in Babylon and in Rome. Because they became lax. They became lax. And Joshua was telling them this so that they will not be lax. And God is telling us, do not be lax. As we enter the new year, this book, this Word of God, the Lord of God, must be on our lips, on our mind. The Word of God must guide our action, wherever we go. The Word of God must guide our action. When you do something, did the Word of God say yes? Did the Word of God say no? The Word of God guide your action in life. It's a command that we must adhere to as we enter the new year. If you obey the Word of God as your daily guide, you enjoy the new year. You enjoy the new year. You will see miracles. You will see miracles. The crossing of the Jordan River also represents the witnessing of supernatural. How can the Jordan River just open like that? We will see the supernatural, will witness the miracles. If we become careless, we become lax, we will be destroyed. Problems will crop out. You'll hear bad news from here, you'll hear bad news from there, you'll hear bad things that frighten your heart. We will be destroyed. You know, it's very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda, he said that the letter was inscribed into the stone and a coat of lime was plastered over them. He said that if the intention was to display the Torah teaching to all mankind, which were by the letter concealed by the coat of lime, no. He said the Torah cannot be mastered out of just curiosity, out of laziness. The Torah study must be fueled by an intense desire for closeness with God. You know, when you know the archaeologists, when they find this slab of stone and a lot of writings inside it, they will come to it, they will clean, they will remove and they clean until they see every single letter. That takes a lot of intense attention. That takes a lot of purpose, hard work, observation, not laziness. Same thing, he's talking about how we go into the Word of God in our life. The Word of God must be fueled by intense desire for closeness with God. Forcing reader to just look at the slime so they cannot see the Word. Okay? It will deter them. But fortify a seeker of God will slowly remove the lime and see the Word of God. See the Word of God. It's very, very interesting. It's a very interesting thing. It talks about the power of the Word of God in our life. We have the book of God for us. The stones will become a memorial to the mighty work that God has done. We cannot deny God has done many things for us in the past years. The stones was meant to remind us to the coming generation of God's promise and God's mighty acts of deliverance. I conclude. It is said that history repeats itself. What has happened to Israel has happened to all of us. Immediately after crossing the Jordan River, they were defeated after they had victory at Jericho. They were defeated. The second battle, they already defeated at Ai. Because of sin. We behave like Achan, who said to Joshua 7:21, "When I saw among the spoil in the world a beautiful mantle, beautiful fashion, I saw 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. I coveted and I took them and I hid them and I concealed them in the earth inside my tent, so that nobody can actually see." We covet the things of the world that is totally against the Word of God. You know, Daryl came to our house, observed Pastor Lily and myself. He went back. He said, "Jen, I realize that your parents live simply." Simply. And I told Pastor Lily, maybe that's the way God do with our life. Okay, He give us just enough, so that we will not grow rich and forget God. Or we don't have enough and we curse God and die. But Achan coveted, and we concealed them in the tent. We did not consecrate ourselves, but took the consecrated things for ourselves. We coveted things, our neighbor's wife, our neighbor's house, our company's money. We coveted things for ourselves. We coveted things that are totally against the Word of God. And we do not follow the Word of God. Like Achan, we rationalize our sin. You have rationalized your sins for 2024, and we hid them in many ways because we say, no one will know. I come to church, I wear properly, nobody can see. These things won't be missed. The people I'm taking from are bad people. They deserve judgment. I'm not hurting anyone. I deserve this treasure. We did not follow the Lord, led by the Levitical priest. We are not even found in church. Some of us are not even found in church. We did not make spiritual preparation. We live a defeated life. But God sent a greater man on our behalf. Jesus too went to the middle of the Jordan River. The baptism of Jesus was a consecration. separating himself and dedicating himself for a specific role to save mankind and to go to the cross of Calvary. His life was totally consecrated on our behalf. He was in favor with God and man, and he totally followed God. He said, I never do anything without the approval or the will of God. He repeatedly said, my primary purpose on earth was to do the will of the Father, meaning he came to fulfill God's plan, not his desire, most notably found in the Gospel of John, where he said, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He was led by God. He was consecrated. He was obedient to the Lord of God. Yet, Jesus did not cross the Jordan River because of us. Spiritually speaking, he died in the Jordan River, signifying his crucifixion. So we don't have to have the defeated life in the year 2025. When Jesus was resurrected, he has given us the Holy Spirit who brings the Word of God to our mind, encouraging us and warning us to follow the Word of God for the year 2025. The Holy Spirit is breathed onto us because of the death of Jesus Christ. He knew that it was so difficult for us to be consecrated, to follow the will of God, to follow the Levitical priests and to obey the Lord of God. He knew. So he went to the cross so that the Holy Spirit can be breathed upon us because of the death of Christ, so that the Holy Spirit can revive us, empower us to obey, to conquer for the year 2025. You don't have to live a defeated life. Just surrender yourself to God today and consecrate yourself and forsake your sin and follow closely the Holy Spirit. Follow closely the Holy Spirit. Jesus has done so much things for all of us. So this is the year. It's still very short. I want you to think of all that I shared. And I want you to discard the sin, repent. You walk with God, but not with a perfect heart. And you come here at the altar and you consecrate your life. You consecrate your life. And they say that you are so afraid of failure. Well, Jesus has died. The Holy Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit is here to remind you and to empower you. And if you walk closely with God, you shall have a victorious year. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? This is the first week, first service of the year 2025. I want you to start it right. Start the new year right. Start the new year right. You want to see miracles? You want to see miracles? Maybe you have not had miracles in your life. It's because your life is not perfect, purified rather. Maybe. The Word of God. You consecrate and say, God, I want to know the Word of God. And my lifestyle, my character will be guided, will be in accordance with the Word of God. If that is what you want, I invite you to come to the altar as you consecrate your life before God. As we sing, let's sing and come to the altar. Come to the altar.